Podcast, the podcast where we break down and give critiques on movies all in one big long take. I'm Austin Archer. With me, as always, is my lifelong next door neighbor, lifelong best friend,
Kramer England.
I sort of flubbed it there.
That's all right.
End of the line. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you? I'm very excited to talk about this movie.
I'm craving this discussion.
Craving to talk about this movie.
Ooh, I got a craving.
I got a craving, and the only prescription is talking about craving.
You know what I need? I need 8 more movies based on Spider-Man villains that Spider-Man's not in or mentioned in.
But they hint extremely
very subtly.
Significantly. No, not subtly. They do it in the most dumb way possible.
Yeah, in the worst way possible, they hint that this could possibly share a universe with Spider-Man at some point. And let's do them all.
Yeah, every character, non-character, even the ones that are just in the page.
Let's do an Aunt May movie.
Yes. I love Aunt May.
And let's not have Peter Parker show up in it.
Yep.
Absolutely. It's just sort of like Aunt May going through a day. She's shopping.
Yep. Sold. I am Sony, and you have sold me on this idea.
That's a character that exists.
Yeah. Let's do a movie.
I wish we were talking about any other movie today. We are talking about Kraven, The Hunter, and I hate this movie.
I hate this movie too. Wow. It was so bad. And the thing that I also hate.
Yeah.
So I saw Kraven on Monday. First of all, there were more people in it than Joker.
Okay.
Too, which was funny.
Crazy.
I watched that movie and I said that was, this is a horrible movie. And then I decided to make it harder on myself and torture myself more. And I watched Madam Web.
Oh no.
I was like, you know, this is the end of the Sony Spider-Man, non-Spider-Man movies. So I felt like I had to watch Madam Web, and that was it. This just 2 steaming piles of garbage.
Yeah, did you think maybe watching Madam Web would make Kraven feel a little better?
Yes, and it did slightly, but that still doesn't. It's not saying anything.
Yeah, this movie's baffling to me because the discrepancy between the critic score and the audience score is massive. On Rotten Tomatoes.
Seen that.
It's got about a 14 or 13% score right now from critics on Rotten Tomatoes, rightly so. And the audience score is like 78%.
Oh, what the heck? 73%.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And before I saw it, I saw that and I went, oh, interesting. And all of the audience reviews were like, don't believe the critics. This movie's awesome. The critic, you know, like, and so I was like, hey, you know what? I went in with my hopes up. I was rooting for this thing. And through the first opening sequence, I was like, hey, okay, maybe we might have something here. And it went downhill so fast. And by the end of the movie, I just was like, what did they must have, I don't know, because what are people seeing? That movie sucked.
I was like, this movie was so, I was baffled as well. The first opening scene, the whole opening sequence, I was like, okay, that was fine. Like nothing amazing. That was fine. He basically starts out and he's a prisoner.
We're going to spoil Kraven if you haven't seen it. You don't need to see it.
You don't need to. Yeah. But spoiler warning.
We're going to tell you about Kraven.
We're going to basically go through the plot of this movie,
yeah.
Which is horrible, by the way. So unstructurally sound. But anyway, it starts out. He's a prisoner. They take him and he goes in. I'm going to point out the things that I thought were cool, which are little. But he's benching, you know, a bunch of weight. 2 big guys come up and they're like, what are you doing here? And he's like, I'm just lifting weights. And then he lifts them up. Yeah, yeah. I'm craving. He lifts them up on he benches them upwards, which I thought, oh, that's pretty cool.
He kind of benches into their faces.
Well, he lifts, they're on it.
That's right. Stopping,
and he lifts them up.
That's
like
right.
Showing how powerful. I was like, that's a cool way to show that he's powerful. Like, hey, it's fun.
But hold on, can we go back here really quick? Because so he's in like Siberia, like crazy no man's land. They're taking him to this Russian prison that's like a black site where it's like one of those places where like once you go there, you never come back. It's the world's most dangerous criminals, whatever.
Yeah.
But there's this scene where they get off at like a Siberian truck stop to go pee. Yeah. And he's like off on his own behind a building. And they're like, prisoner 268, what are you doing over here? And he's like, I am Craven. And they're like, get back on the bus. And he's like, okay. And he just, but like the guy's like, you would die out here. The wolves would eat you. But I was like, it, like looking back, like what was that?
That's exactly what I thought too. That had no significance to the movie whatsoever.
It was nothing. Like it was like it makes it seem like was he trying to escape or was he? But then it's like no, literally. He just went and stood behind a building for no reason.
Well, and then it shows you later that the real prisoner 258 or whatever it was was dead, and he had killed him to get in. But again, that still doesn't make
sense. I literally didn't get that. Okay, actually, okay, I get it. So that's so he switched places with that guy then.
He did, yeah.
At that moment.
But it still also is like, okay, like what? So? Like he killed the guy to get into that. The guy that he killed has no significance on the movie.
Yeah.
Besides when they shoehorn it in to Calypso's friend who died. Like, I really think that this movie was made in post.
Yeah.
Like, I really think that they were like, I don't know if they even were like, let's not reshoot. Let's just rearrange and try to make some sort of sense out of this movie.
At least like, that thing, I'm glad you picked that. At least that thing makes sense that it's like, okay. There was that dead body in the snow later on that has the neck tattoo. So Craven came up and killed that guy when they got off the,
because they don't actually show his face. The prison. Yeah.
And they don't actually show his face before that. So it's like you, as the audience, you assume you're looking at Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah.
But his face isn't revealed till that moment where they go like prisoner. And he turns around and looks and it's Aaron Taylor Johnson. But it's like in the movie logic, it's just transitioned to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it still is like,
thank goodness that guy looked like Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, but also like, what like how did he get that guy away from the other prisoners? Like what, how, I just don't, it's just like, wouldn't the guards be watching where every single,
like why would you just let him, hey, go in,
I don't,
go in the gas station, but don't go away.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Yeah. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Anyway, Craven is broken into a prison. Yeah.
And this is also what I feel like happened is that they were like, I think they intended to start the movie when they were young.
Sure. But
they're like, crap, this is really long and boring, so we need to start.
Boy, is it ever.
Part. Yeah.
Oh, because
this does not. So they start with the prison break. He goes in, he kills this guy, which is fine. The whole sequence is like, oh, this is kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like he kills the guy. You see it on the trailer. He pulls off the tooth of the tiger or the lion or whatever.
There's like an arms dealer that's in this prison, and Craven, who is the hunter, has broken into this prison to assassinate this guy.
Yeah.
And that's why he's there. Like the whole reason for him being in the, and he tells his cellmate at one point, his cellmate's like, I don't like roommates. And he's like, don't worry, I will only be here for 3 days. And he's like, I am Craven. And the roommate's like, okay.
It's Craven time.
Yeah. He's like, I am Craven. And then he like goes in and like, you find out, oh, he's here to kill this guy.
Yeah.
And that's, it's fine. It's all fine. And he's
nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
He escapes. They definitely cut a lot out of the trailer because there's a scene in the trailer where he's like running with wolves and like wolves rip apart some guy, but that doesn't happen in the movie. He sees a wolf and the wolf is like mad at him. And then he's like, his eyes go brown.
Yeah. He runs into a snowstorm that gets very, it's like a snow version of like the Mad Max dust storm.
Yep.
Fury Road.
That's exactly what it is.
That's that. And that's how he gets away from the guards after he escapes from this prison, which also like, I guess being an animal means that you can like dodge machine gun fire because he's really good at like he's really good at crawling on all fours and shifting away from bullets.
Well, yeah, like you can't, I'm moving like an animal, so you can't shoot me.
I am Craven, you cannot shoot me.
You can't shoot lions. I have lion powers.
Yeah, and that's how lions are, is they can
they never get shot.
Yeah. So but anyway, he escapes and he goes into the storm. Yeah, there's this wolf that shows up, but he looks at the wolf and he's like, you cannot hunt me. I am Craven. I talk like this is his accent. It's not.
He has an American accent. Yeah,
but it's just for the first scene that he speaks with a Russian accent. But yeah,
I guess then it is. Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, yeah. But then he gets on this plane. I love this. The movie, so Craven gets on this plane, and Aaron Taylor Johnson rips his shirt off gratuitously.
Yep.
There's not really any reason why he has to do it, but the movie's like, hey, come on, look, it's Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Like, with his shirt off. Are ripped.
Yeah. But then he puts this headset on and starts talking to the pilot. And the pilot is this woman who has her back to us. And the movie makes like a big deal of like not showing us her face. And she's like, how'd it go? And he's like, oh, how it always goes. Good for me, bad for them. You know, like, I was Craven and they were not. And I, you know, like, and
that should have been the line.
Yeah, like how it always goes. I was Craven and I killed him. But like
Craven blood.
But the main
got it.
But the movie's like kind of like doing this thing of like, who's this mysterious pilot? And you want to know what the answer to that question is?
Nobody.
Nobody. Don't even know.
The movie shows her voice shows up again, and then that's it.
They never show us who it is.
Like, I'm sorry, actress. Your whole part got pretty much killed because it just showed the back of your head.
It's also just like it's like
he obviously has a rapport. He's like, go ahead, Shelly. Who's Shelly? Who are you?
Like, in this entire character's life, he has like two people that know him: his brother. His brother, who he
pilot,
his brother and this pilot, and we have no idea who this pilot is.
No. Like,
this guy lives by himself in a nature preserve in like eastern, far eastern Russia, and he lives completely isolated from all of civilization. And somehow, in this operation that he has of being an international human hunter assassin, he's got a female pilot named like Sophie or something.
Yes, whatever her name is.
And we never see her face. She just flies the plane and talks to him twice in the movie. And it's like, who is that?
Like, I think, and then like the second time he talks to her, he's like, all right, Shelly, you ready? She's like, yep, I'm ready. So dumb.
I literally was like, at the end of the movie, I was like, wait, did we ever find out who that was? And it's like, no. And
who is that?
It's like,
I'm trying to see if she's even credited.
Like, she's like Craven's Alfred, right? Like, she's
probably,
you know,
but
who is that? Like,
I,
if there is a person in the world who knows who Craven is and who is helping him out and flying him around the world to commit these, to do these assassinations, we should know who that person is. Like,
Oh my gosh, is this really? It says cargo plane pilot. It doesn't even have her name.
What?
Elizabeth Appleby.
That's crazy that her character name is cargo plane pilot.
He said her name. He said her name.
Dude, that's so crazy that
that's really her.
She's credited as cargo plane pilot.
That makes no sense.
Okay, but yeah, so structurally this movie's terrible. He gets in the plane, he takes his shirt off. He and cargo plane pilot fly away. and then we do the longest flashback.
Oh my gosh.
Ever.
We have this huge flashback.
It's
like, oh, dad is here to pick us up. So it's young Craven and his brother.
It says 15 years earlier, and they make us go through what feels like 15 years of background exposition.
It really is so, it basically like, your mom was weak, she killed herself, like, and Russell Crowe, man, I was like so looking forward to being like, you know, maybe he'll be the only thing good about this movie.
Nope.
And he really wasn't.
No, like,
he's really given it his all, but man, they didn't give him anything to do.
I think Russell Crowe's really trying. I think Aaron Taylor Johnson's trying too. Here's the thing, I don't really like Aaron Taylor Johnson in this movie.
I don't either.
Like, the movie tries so many times to like have him say like kind of like, you know, charming quips, you know, like someone, you know, oh, can I help you, sir? Oh, I don't know. Maybe get me some clean clothes. Like, you know, like when he's all wet, that one scene, it's like the movie tries to make him charming and relatable. He's not, he's no fun. He's not funny. No. He's not charming. He's not cool. He's just like buff and hot.
He was like the best part of Bullet Train.
Yeah.
He is like so vanilla in this.
But here's the problem. It's not Aaron Taylor Johnson's fault, and it's not Russell Crowe's fault.
No.
It's that nobody asked for a Craven movie. If Aaron Taylor Johnson showed up in a Spider-Man film as that character, as a villain, as Craven, and he was hunting Spider-Man, and he was a smaller character, we would all go, dude, Aaron Taylor Johnson was pretty cool as Kraven in that movie. Yep. It's just that, like, as the main character of his own movie, it's just like, oh, I don't care at all. And like, and this screenplay sucks. And
and all the character development and all the tension of this movie is like, is non-existent. It's not there. Like, it doesn't make sense. This whole sequence that lasts for, I feel like it lasts at least 40 minutes.
Yeah.
It feels 45 minutes or longer.
It's way too much of the movie.
And it's like, maybe it's not that long. Maybe it's 30 minutes, but it's like, they go and they're like, oh, you know, your mom killed yourself. I'm going to go take you hunting. And then we go.
We'll get there. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure. And then like, then we have this weird Calypso scene where she is a young girl and her, this made no sense.
The movie just is like, hey, here's some information you needed to know about something that's about to happen.
Yeah. The movie just
takes us to a scene that is literally just young Calypso talking to her grandma, and her grandma's like, hello, grandchild. Here are some things in the movie that are about to happen. She's like,
that's exactly what it was.
You're going to give this card to a boy and then give him this, and it will turn him into Kraven the Hunter. That's the scene. That's
basically, if they would have said that, that would have basically been what it would have been.
Straight up. And you're like, and also you're watching the movie going, who is this now? Because like, we're in his flashback. We're in.
Yeah. Why are we going to this girl?
Yeah.
It really would have made more sense to not show that at all and have it from Kraven's perspective.
Yeah.
And then he's like in and out of consciousness, and this girl comes and like does something. And then through him, we find out that it's her.
100%.
That would have been fine.
And a big part of the movie could be him trying to find whoever it was that gave him that potion and what the potion was. And then when he finally meets Ariana DeBose later in the film, she explains to him, I gave you this potion that my grandmother made, that my family, it's a family.
Yeah.
You know, like, and she, you know, she, but like, we get this like whack exposition scene with this grandma it's so bad. But it's like, you're watching the scene just going, okay, this is so obvious what this is.
Oh,
like, it's so like, the movie is like, it's literally just like if there was a scene in a Spider-Man movie where there's just all of a sudden we're just like following some like guy who's going to work at Oscorp, and it's just like, hey, today, Ned, we're gonna test the radioactive spiders. And you know what's so crazy, Ned, is if someone were to wander in here and get bit by one of these spiders, they would turn into Spider-Man. It's just like that's the scene, and you're like, what are we doing? Like,
that's exactly
that's exactly what's happening in that scene. That's exactly what's happening in that scene. She's just like, you're going to give this potion to a boy and he's going to be Kraven. It's like, okay. It's like, can you just show us that then, please? Yeah.
If you're not watching, I couldn't talk because I was uncontrollably laughing at how accurate that statement was.
It's just like, we do not need that scene at all in this movie. Oh, anyway, man. This very long flashback. Yes. The boys are out hunting with their dad, Russell Crowe. He likes Kraven more than he likes the other boy because Kraven is more manly than the other boy. The other boy is good at impressions.
He sounds exactly, he's a chameleon.
Yeah, he does good impressions. But yeah, there's this, they sort of set this thing up where they're like, we're out here to hunt the biggest lion, the king of the jungle. No one's ever gotten him. And basically what happens,
Then they show Rhino, the guy who plays Rhino.
Yep.
And he's like, hey, I want to be your partner. And he's like, why would I be partners with you? You are weak. I've never heard of you. I'm Russell Crowe.
Yeah. that scene's also another scene where it's like, this man will be the villain later in the film. Exactly. So here is his motivation. I hate you. You are stupid. And yeah. It's just like, yeah. And like, that's it. And that guy's like, oh man, I'm so going to be the villain in 15 years. He's yeah. just like, oh, your dad called me stupid on this hunting yep. trip.
Thank goodness I got this weird experimental surgery. Anyway, they're going after this lion, this legend, because if you kill a legend, you will be a legend.
That's I also just, this scene is so, everything in this movie is so forced. Like every line, like exactly like, just like this guy's here and Russell Crowe needs to insult him and tell him that he's nobody so that later on he can have a motivation in the film. But it's like, it's so just like, it's just like it's like obligatory dialogue. That's like, I have to say a line that amounts to this. And then, so Craven and his brother are out wandering in the field and the lion shows up. But right before that happened, Craven says this thing where he's like, a real legend would just fight with the tools that he has. He wouldn't use a gun. And I'm like, what is this 15-year-old kid saying? Like, what? What is he talking about? Like, why is Craven at 15 years old already like, you know, a real man would just fight animals with his bare hands. It's like, no, that's insane. A real man would not fight a lion with his bare hands. Yeah. You with superpowers later in the film would do that. Yeah. But like the movie's just like, Craven's always been really honorable. And like, he believes in,
he loves animals.
Yeah. And he already has this, like this lion comes out and Craven lowers his gun and him and the lion have this like connection.
Yeah.
And
which then, the lion looks really cool.
It does look cool.
Again, I'm going to point out the cool things, which is very few and far between. But the lion lion is huge.
Yeah, it's very big.
And it looks really cool. But he puts his gun down.
Yeah, and he and the lion already have a connection, which like, you know, it's like, hey, why? Why is he already Craven before he's taken the and I guess the movie's trying to be like, even without the potion, he's still Craven. You know, like he doesn't, you know, it's like, Tony Stark's still Iron Man under that suit, you know?
Yeah.
But this movie's just so bad at everything it's trying to do. Russell Crowe comes out, starts shooting the lion. It makes the lion come at Craven. He attacks Craven. Craven
tells his brother to get out. Yeah. You know, go save yourself. Don't worry about me. Yeah,
Craven gets, you know, it's like the Revenant where the bear gets Leo, but it's worse. And it's like not as good. I mean,
worse
in quality. And the lion drags Craven away, and who shows up to save him but the little girl with the tarot card that her grandma gave her and the potion, because that's what the movie told us was going to happen 5 minutes before.
Yep.
And so that happens, and she turns him into Craven with the potion.
He saves his life in a weird sequence.
Also, this is like Craven like dies, and he like passes through, you know, the death realm, and then he comes back as something else. But this is like just a really goofy looking visual sequence. It's like, hey, here's an opportunity for your movie to have a little bit of visual. Like, think about like Doctor Strange when he's first like getting sent into like those crazy, when Tilda Swinton like shoots him into the psychedelic realm for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's so trippy. And it's like, this is an opportunity for your movie to have a little bit of like visual identity. And it's so bland and boring and poorly conceived.
Well, and it feels like they're kind of like, hey, remember Spider-Man?
Yeah.
Like when he got bit, you had this, like, you see his DNA, which is all very cool in Spider-Man. But in this, it's like, this is our version of that.
Yeah. And it just keeps like showing like animal eyes and like growls and stuff.
And these weird symbols.
Yeah.
But like, okay, did you notice this? So he gets the potion, but then they show this shot like at least three times. It's like he has a wound, a bite wound somewhere in his heart or something. And the blood from the lion drips down into his wound.
Yep.
So the lion's blood mixes goes with into his blood.
Yep.
And I'm like, so he has lion powers? Like, what does he have? Like,
and you're right. Okay. They show that same shot like three times.
They do.
Yeah.
But blood does not give you superhuman powers. Like, this is something you see in so many Sony movies all the time. Spider-Man 2. I need your blood. Your blood will save me. Like, why? What? His blood is not magic.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, it doesn't. And so I was like, why did you put that in there? That's stupid. Like,
Yeah,
it's just like the potion is enough.
Yeah, the potion is what does it. But like the movie's got to be, it's trying to do like a Catwoman type thing where it's like somehow like the essence of the lion is fused with him while he's taking the, you know, but because like maybe they're trying to differentiate themselves from Black Panther because it's so similar to a Black Panther-esque thing where like you drink this stuff and then, you die and you come back to life and then you're the Black Panther.
Yeah.
But like in this movie, it's like, no, but he actually gets like the DNA of the lion in him.
He gets lion blood.
You know what the real answer is I don't care.
Yeah, let's move on.
I don't care either. He's Kraven now. Yep. And we are still in the flashback. And it's like, boy, the flashback could have been over then. Could have been like he wakes up in the hospital and he's like, I'm Kraven now.
Yeah.
And we go back to him, you know, like, and then we go back to Aaron Taylor Johnson and we get on with the movie. But no, this flashback is just still like there's a whole breakup with the family where like he runs away from home and it has a confrontation with his brother where his brother's like, don't leave me. And he's like, don't worry, little brother, I'll come back for you every year on your birthday. And
they set this up because he leaves his brother and his brother's like, don't leave me, I hate dad, you know. And he's like, no, it's okay, I'll be with you in spirit, I'm Kraven. But he's like,
I'm Kraven now. Dude, you don't get it. Like, I'm Kraven now, dude. I can't just live here. I'm Kraven now, dude.
I gotta go out in the jungle. He leaves him. And so my thought is, which is kind of most everybody's thought, like, okay, he leaves him and then they never talk again.
Right.
Like, and this movie's gonna bring them back together.
Right.
But no, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, what we find out when we jump back to Aaron Taylor Johnson is like, oh no, they see each other pretty regularly. Like they talk on the phone
all the time.
It's just like he like takes off and you think that like maybe this is gonna be like his brother's mad at him or something, and his brother joins forces with his dad and like resents him for like abandoning him or something like that. Cause they really, it's like if you're gonna put this in the flashback that's already too long, this moment where he's like, you can't leave me, you can't abandon me. And he's like, don't worry. Yeah, and he kind of says like, I'll always be with you in your heart. And it's like, but literally he's like, no, actually we're just going to hang out all the time. Like, don't worry. It's fine.
Like, it's not a big deal when we, even with his dad.
Yeah.
We'll get to that scene.
It's like him going away for college or something. He's just like, dude, it's fine. Like, I'm just down
the street.
So anyway, he goes and finds his like Fortress of Solitude, which is like this nature preserve that I guess his family owns, that his mother liked.
Yeah.
That's in like far eastern Russia, and he goes out there
and he's nearly trampled by water buffalo or something.
But also like, hey, what's going on at this prison? Like, is there just no one there? Like does no one in his that I guess it's just like abandoned. But yeah, he finds this abandoned house that is, I guess, his mom would take them to when he was a kid, and he decides to live there. But yeah, a stampede of water buffalo come randomly, and
it was so dumb.
It like was so stupid.
If you cut the scene out of the movie would still be fine, because this comes in the end. This comes at the climax,
right?
Like, it's almost like the water buffaloes help him, but it's like, you didn't need that. He talks to animals. I'll make that jump.
You can just show us that, like, as an adult, Aaron Taylor Johnson on this nature preserve has a relationship with all of the animals.
Yeah,
like he wrestles with the jaguar and the cheetah, whatever it is.
An obligatory spot in the movie that makes no sense.
Right. You know, but like we can just see that, like, he's like hanging out with monkeys and he's whatever he's doing.
Yeah, you could see that. We'd make that jump.
But instead, they do this long sequence where it's like, it's too long. This like stampede sequence where one of the buffaloes stops and looks at him and they make eye contact for a really long time, and he's like, I'm Kraven, and the buffalo's like, I know.
will you marry me?
And the buffalo's like, yes. He's like, yes, Kraven, I love you. And he's like, I will fly your plane. And then the buffalo turns into a woman and becomes cargo plane pilot. And
that's how she got it. Yep.
That's who she is.
But it was a very long scene that made not much sense. It didn't really have much effect on the movie.
Yeah.
Then I think this is where we actually end the sequence.
Finally.
Right?
Yeah. Finally. It's like, okay. Yeah.
Well, no. We forgot something.
What?
There are two poachers.
Oh, gosh.
That come on. And he's like, oh, don't hurt the animals, I'm Kraven. Yeah. And he kills the two poachers. Like, this is where he's like,
as a kid still.
Yeah. He's like, it's like, he's 15. It's like,
this should be Aaron Taylor Johnson doing this. Like, like,
it's his first blood.
Yeah.
So he like kills him. It's like, really weird. Then we go back to the present day.
But then Aaron Taylor Johnson does the same thing in the present day. Like, we go back to present day Aaron Taylor Johnson, and he's like, yep. Oh man, poachers are back on my land again. Yeah. And he just goes and does the same sequence, but cooler. And it's like, we could have just done that sequence just once.
We didn't need it again.
We could have just done it once. Like, we could have just said he went to go live on the nature preserve. He became friends with all the animals. And now if any poachers ever show up on his land, he kills them.
He kills them.
Because he's Kraven. Yeah. And like, that's it.
The whole sequence is so weird because he's like, oh, you're trespassing on my land. I'm like, get out of our way, kid. And he kills them all. He bites off a dude's nose and then he spits it at the other poacher. He kills them all. And then like the one poacher gets away. And then he goes to, I guess, London. He goes to London and that poacher comes and he's like, oh, we ran into some trouble, but I took care of it. And then he turns around and it's Kraven. He's like, no, you didn't. I'm Kraven.
Yeah.
And then he's like,
he's like, oh no, Kraven.
Oh no. So he kills the poacher there. And he's like, I got a list and you're on it. And like, oh, I can add all these names on my list, which I was like, why is this list coming up?
Like, it's because it's in the comics.
Why don't you use it?
Right.
Like, I get why they have it. And I thought, oh, this is cool. Okay. He's going to go after all these people on his list. No, he doesn't.
So again, the screenplay just has stuff that like, it has to have him saying certain things. Cause they're like, they're like, hey, so what do we know about? Like, literally it's like, here's the problem with the entire Sony, you know, villain verse is that all of these characters are only, they're nowhere near as developed as the main characters, as the heroes, because of course they're not. Like, they are side characters in every story that they appear in. And so they're nowhere near, like, their lore is nowhere near as deep. So when writers sit down to be like, okay, Kraven movie, they're like, what do we know about Kraven? They're like, okay, so here's how he became Kraven. He was, you know, like, as a kid on a hunting trip, he was mauled by a lion and he got like this potion. Okay, that's how we know. Okay, he hunts people. He's like an international assassin, and he has a list of names, and once you're on his list, there's nothing he's like this unstoppable force that will come after you. So like, that's kind of all we know. So they've got this movie where like, that's his occupation, and he's got to say to people, I've got a list, and if you're on it, it's bad news.
Yeah.
But that's not the story of the movie. The story of the movie is not him checking people off his list. The story of the movie is like, oh, my brother got kidnapped and I got to go get my brother.
Yeah.
But like, we got to have
The list movie would have been way more fun.
Way more fun.
Like, don't give me this stupid brother story. Like, I don't. So we're about 45 minutes into the movie, and it still has not. Don't know where it's going. It's still in the first act.
We haven't even gotten into the main plot.
No, we haven't. We're still in the first act. Yep. Like, and this was bothering me so bad because I'm like, why is this movie not started?
I remember. I was sitting in the theater going like, I don't know what's going on. Like,
After he kills the guy and he gets more names for his list, he goes and like, there's a funeral. And the funeral is like, and Ariana DeBose is like, she plays Calypso. And she's like, oh, my friend got killed. And it's no secret. It was by this one dude. And the one dude who she's talking about is the guy that Kraven killed at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
It's like arms dealer. And then Kraven shows up at the funeral and is like, hey, I'm sorry about your friend, but I killed the guy that killed her. So I'm Kraven. Like,
yeah, like it's like.
Like, you owe me a favor now kind of thing. Like,
yeah. And also this scene drove me nuts because he says that he's been trying to track her down for years.
Yeah.
He's been trying to track down the girl who saved his life for years. And it's taken him almost like 15 years to find her. And he finally found her and he's finally confronting her being like, hey, it's me. I'm the boy that you saved in the jungle. Yeah. But also, he's like, I'm the world's best tracker. When you're on my list, you're like, I can find anybody. I'm the best hunter in the world. And then he comes to Ariana DeBose and he's like, I need your help to find somebody. And it's like, what are you talking about?
You just said you were the best hunter in the world.
A, why did it take you 15 years to find her? B, why do you need her help to find anybody? Like what is happening here? And Ryan George talked about this in his Screen Rant pitch meeting video of this, where it was like,
oh, I haven't even seen that yet.
Oh, it's great. But I need to watch it. Literally has a sequence where he's like, wait, didn't Craven just say that he's the best hunter in the world? He's like, yeah. And he goes, but it took him 15 years to find this girl. And he's like, yeah. And he goes, and he needs her help to find somebody else. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, but he's the best hunter in the world. Yeah. It's like, okay.
Yes.
So yeah, it's like, is he or isn't he? Well,
and this whole sequence too, when he's talking to her, he's like, well, I need your help now. And she's like, well, I got to think about it. But they're talking. And I swear he's asking her a question and she's responding to something completely different.
Oh, there! This movie has so much bad ADR. I was in the theater going like, there were sequences with Ariana DeBose and Aaron Taylor Johnson where every line of dialogue was not in close up, was like behind them, and then when it would cut to their face, they'd be like just finishing saying a word, and I'd be like, that's not what they were saying. Like,
I swear they used AI to move that was her mouth at sometimes.
Straight up, there were so many sequences where I was like, that is not what they were saying on the day that they were filming.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And there was like bad ADR.
Oh, it was like, real bad. It was very noticeable.
Yeah.
I did that in Madam Web 2 and it was horrible. Sucked.
And that's again, like, I just think that these movies are a mess. I just think this whole series of Sony movies, the Venom movies included, are a mess. They're bad movies.
Yep. They are.
But one thing I want to talk about too, going back to that, like that poacher action sequence where he bites the guy's nose off and he is like, this movie wants so bad to be like a hardcore movie because it's rated R, and so it's like, and it'll have these moments of like extreme gore and violence where the movie wants to really be like, isn't this cool? And I'm just like, it could be potentially if this movie didn't suck so much. If it wasn't the worst movie I've ever seen, it could be fun. But it's like, it wants to do that like Logan thing where it's like, hey, everybody says the F word, and and when we kill people, we really kill them. Like, we're ripping people apart. And it's like, like in Logan, when he's slamming his claws through people's skulls and stuff, I'm like, I'm here for it. Or in Deadpool and Wolverine, when they're just really going for it, I think it's fun. In Kraven, it just feels tonally inconsistent because the tone of the screenplay is like a movie that was written by an 8-year-old. Like, it just, it has the tone of like a very childish movie. Like, it's just it doesn't feel like a movie for adults at all. It feels like a movie for idiots. And then these action sequences that are like, this is a grown-up movie. And it's like, I don't think so, dude. I know.
Like, they could have easily made this PG-13 and it still would have sucked. What's the point?
Like the extreme violence just feels weird. It's just sort of like, it's just like, oh yeah, this movie's not good enough to earn that. Like, it just feels like this.
Like, this movie sucks, so we'll try to tell people it's rated R. It's gritty.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so now Kraven and Ariana DeBose are teamed up, and they're gonna, you know.
And then he goes and he meets his brother. Like, he breaks into his apartment, and
also like middle of the day. Like, it's the middle of the day, and Kraven climbs up a building in London.
Yeah.
In full view of the public. Like, he just scales this building in the middle of the day. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. I guess Kraven has no qualms about people knowing that he is Kraven and has superpowers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, I guess this is a thing that every year on his brother's birthday, he goes and visits his brother and hangs out with him. And like, they like see their dad. He even like sees his dad regularly. Yeah. It seems like,
I know. And his dad's like, oh, it's good to see my son again. And I was like, what? Like, the whole tension of having someone leave the family is that it should be a surprise when he shows up again.
Right.
And it should be like, oh, this is how we get back together. But like, we're pulled back together for a reason. Like, this was not that at all.
So what I was going to say during the flashback that I can say now, because we're here, because now we're back to modern times. He goes to hang out with his little brother, who we find out is like a lounge singer in one of his dad's clubs. And he's such a vocal chameleon that he can do all these different singing styles and stuff. And we're always talking about how he's so good at being a chameleon. What do you think about this actor that keeps showing up and stuff? That's like,
he's in Gladiator too.
I just kind of think like, hey, can we cool it with this kid, Hollywood? Yeah. I really feel like we're being force fed this kid right now. And I think he's just like so aggressively mediocre. I just am like, what is the deal? Why do you keep putting him in everything?
Weird. And I've seen him in many. I watched Thelma the other night and he was in that, which he was fine in that. But he's in Gladiator 2. He's in that. Fred Hechinger.
I just like no shade to this actor, but I guess a little bit of shade. I just don't get it. I just am like, whose kid is this? Like, which producer's kid is this? Because I just am like, he is in everything lately. And I feel like Hollywood's telling me like, trust me, this kid's really talented. And I'm like, I just don't see it, you guys. Like, he's not, like, not only is he not talented, like, you got to be one or the other in Hollywood. You got to be talented or hot or both. And he's neither to me. Like, he's just like very mid with his acting skills, and he's definitely not hot. But I'm like, if you're not hot, you got to be a great actor. That's the rule. I know, as a not hot person who's in movies sometimes, you got to bring it. Like, you got to like make up for it.
Yeah, but it's, he was, I have actually had the same thoughts. Like, this guy's shown up a lot, and I'm not really sure why.
I just keep thinking he's somebody's kid. Like, he's somebody's kid, but whatever. Anyway, he's in this movie and he's fine. And
well, and I guess before this scene, like, the guy that Kraven killed, now everybody wants his territory or something. And so, like, Rhino, which this was actually a cool scene. Rhino is like, who wants to be my partner? And then, like, they try to kill him, and then he has other people kill them. And then one of the other guys kills the last person. I was like, oh, that's a cool little scene. Like, that was a fun little scene, but it doesn't pay off at all because it was stupid. The guy dies in the next scene. So the guy who becomes his ally, who's a gangster, tries to kill Russell Crowe. He gets killed, and then, like, his son is like, tries to hide. And then Russell Crowe's like, you're weak. You're not Kraven. Like, you are a weak kid. So that's happened. And then he finds his brother, and then they go back to the club, which is apparently fine now after a huge
shootout. There's a huge shootout and an assassination attempt on the kid and on Russell Crowe in the club. And then, like, for the kid's birthday, they're just like, let's go back to the club. Like, they're just like,
what, there's just a bunch of people murdered there?
It's like, hey, should we be like laying low for a little bit? Like, seems like there's like a big like gang war on, and they're trying to kill us. Like, it's just like, it's my birthday, let's go. Like, and it's like an excuse to put Aaron Taylor Johnson in a suit. I thought this was funny too, that like the brother was like, we're gonna dress up and we're gonna go out. And he's like, I won't fit in your suits. And he's like, this one's a little big on me. I'm like, it would have to be six sizes too big. It would have to, like,
you are way smaller than Aaron Taylor Johnson.
It can't just be a little bit big for you and it will fit him. Like, he is, three times your size. But whatever. It's an excuse for the movie to be like, Aaron Taylor Johnson's hot. Yeah. Look at him in this suit. That's mostly what Aaron Taylor Johnson does in this movie, is he smolders.
Looks hot.
And I was thinking about it, like, from an acting perspective too. I was like, well, if I was Aaron Taylor Johnson playing Kraven, I'd be like, what do I know about this guy? Well, he's sort of infused with lion DNA, and he moves like a lion, and he's sort of like this half animal, half. So, like, what does a lion do? And it's like, lions kind of stalk and smolder. And I think that's what he's trying to do, but it just makes him look in the movie like a guy who's really hot, who takes himself really seriously. And it makes it, it's not a very likable performance, because he's mostly just sort of like strutting around in the movie smoldering. He's just like, you know, and it's like, it just doesn't make for a very, but I get, I think, like, as an actor, he's like, well, I'm supposed to be like a, you know, like a predator cat. And it's like, and cats are like very sensual, smoldery animals. But with Aaron Taylor Johnson looking the way that he does, it just feels like the movie the whole time is like, isn't he so hot? And it's like, and it feels like he's like, aren't I so hot? Like, the whole movie. And I'm just like, I don't know, man. It makes you a hard protagonist to get into. But yeah, they go to this club and they have a little family dinner.
Yeah, and nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
They go back to his apartment. Aaron Taylor Johnson can't sleep in his apartment, so he goes outside to sleep.
I love that this is how this movie accomplishes his brother getting kidnapped. It's just like, and he's like, I can't sleep. I'm going to go sleep outside.
And he's like, so the next morning, his brother gets kidnapped. They have this chase scene.
Which is like, okay.
It's fine. Scenes are fine.
It's like, fine.
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing bad about him, but nothing great about him.
Yeah, it's fine.
And he tries to go after a helicopter or whatever. And anyway, his brother gets away. He goes and sees Calypso, and she's like, that's like, he's like, oh, they took my brother, and like, I'm gonna go find him. And she's like, oh, I've got a contact, and she gets some information from a contact, and then like, the contact gets killed by the foreigner because they want.
Yeah, this is a character we've already introduced earlier in the film, but like, it's an interesting. I'm sure this is a comic book character. I'm not familiar with him, but I'm sure he's a character from the. I'm sure the people in our comments will be like, "Oh yeah, the foreigner." His whole thing is that he can like hypnotize people with his eyes. If you look at, he's sort of like Cyclops. He wears sunglasses, and if he takes his sunglasses off and looks at you, and you make eye contact with him, he can sort of freeze you. But he does this thing where he says 1, 2, three. And by the count of three, he's on the other side of you. And he's like, usually like taking the weapon out of your hand and he, you know,
kills.
But the first time we meet him, he does it to like an assassin. There's like a person who's trying to kill him.
It's a guard.
It's a guard. Yeah. And it's somebody who has a gun trained on him. And he's like, one, freezes the guy, two, moves around to the back of him, steals the gun, three, shoots the guard dead. Then this guy that is Ariana DeBose's contact is just like walking away from meeting up with her, and the foreigner shows up and he does his whole 1-2-3 thing. And I was like, I don't think you needed to do that, man. Like,
yeah. Why'd you kill that guy?
Or like, why'd you do the 1-2-3 thing? Like,
I know, like,
you could have just like shot him. Like, you didn't need, like,
he didn't have anything on you.
Yeah. He was just like standing there. Like, you didn't need to be like, watch this.
Well,
like,
and it was dumb too, because they have this whole exchange and he's like, did she buy it? He's like, oh yeah, she bought it because she trusts me. And then he kills him. And I was like, what was the point of that scene? Like, all he had to do is show the foreigner there. And then, okay, it's bad information.
He's clearly working for Rhino. There's no need to kill him.
No.
He's on your team. But
doesn't do anything.
When you do kill him, you don't need to do your hypnotism thing. Yeah. Like, it's there. Like, the only time you ever need to do the hypnotism thing is if someone's like attacking you and then you freeze them with your hypnotism eyes.
Yeah.
But like, there's no, it's just, I don't know. This movie sucks. But anyway,
and
like,
we're well into an hour of this movie, of this 2-hour movie, which should be the midpoint, but no, we just got out of the first act.
Yeah. And the foreigner, I will say, is an intriguing,
he could have been interesting.
He's intriguingly played by this actor who portrays him, I think. But again, this is like what a villain in a comic book movie that's interesting, this is what Kraven should be. Kraven the amount of screen time that the foreigner has in Kraven the Hunter is the amount of screen time that Kraven should have in a Spider-Man movie.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Like there should be a Spider-Man movie where the main villain is Venom and it's Spider-Man and Venom, but Kraven's there and he has the amount of screen time that the foreigner has. Like, and that's who Kraven the Hunter is. Like, he's
mysterious. Yeah.
And that's the amount of character development that we should have about him. It's just like, oh, this is a scary guy that when he shows up, watch out, because he's scary. But
we've gotten out of the first act. He goes to Siberia or something. He like goes to this house. This was so dumb. He like quietly walks behind people.
Yeah.
And they don't notice him. And then
he's an animal.
He's Kraven. And like, they don't notice him. And then he like goes around and I was like, this is so dumb. Like, you would hear him or like, I don't even need to see this. If this is all that's happening, all he did was just get upstairs.
Also, like this is all a setup by the Rhino. Like, the Rhino fed Ariana DeBose bad information to get Kraven in this place, but the Rhino still has henchmen just like walking around getting killed by Kraven.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like that place should be empty. Like, he should show up at that place, and as soon as he gets in there, it blows up. Like, there's no reason for the Rhino to be like, I'm still going to have my men just sort of like walking around in there getting picked off one by one by Kraven until I choose to like shoot him with some rocket launchers.
Exactly.
But it's like while I was watching that sequence, I was like, isn't this all a setup? Why are these guys all there? Like, what's going on? Like, did he just have guys there to be like, hey, you know, Kraven's going to show up and kill most of you, but like, you know, it's just,
but
like,
you'll be fine.
Yeah. I don't know.
He like finds the guy that he came to look for. And then he tackles him out of the window. They fall like 1,000 feet.
Yeah.
And they're fine. Well, he's fine. No, they're both fine, actually, because the other guy didn't die.
But that's the other thing, is the guy that he was looking for was there. And I was like, he shouldn't be there. Like, this is bad intel that was fed to him. It just, like, it seems
doesn't
like
make sense.
The Rhino's like, no, tell him where the guy is, and like, we'll give him a chance to get him, but like, we're gonna kind of like surprise him and like kill him when he gets there. And it's like, or just don't have the guy there. Like, don't, like, just like make him go to a place that you know he will be, and then you can have the foreigner kill him easily, you know? Like, because so I don't know.
They fall like 1,000 feet. Yeah. The whole building falls on top of them.
Yeah.
And then he's fine. And you don't know how.
Because he's
guys
Kraven.
Show up and like, oh, yep, that's Kraven for sure. And he's like, oh, I don't know about that. And that's like what he literally says. He's like, They think they found him, and then he's behind him. He's like, oh, I don't think that's Kraven. And then they're like, oh, crap. And then he kills
him. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The movie doesn't show him get out of the rubble.
No.
Like a typical superhero movie, if you're like it, like, so, because Kraven is about, I wouldn't say Kraven is quite as strong as Spider-Man is. Like, no. In terms of super strength,
no, he's not.
I would say Kraven has about the same strength as like the Black Panther, which is like you have more, or like Captain America, maybe. Like they have like similar levels of like super serum strength, but Spider-Man's stronger. But if Spider-Man gets buried in a bunch of like concrete rubble, it messes him up. Like Peter Parker has to like dig himself out of that, and he's like all bloody and messed up. Normally in a superhero movie, if that happens, if there's that moment where your hero gets buried in rubble, you see the shot of them like digging themselves out of it and like barely surviving it. This movie literally just cuts to Kraven standing behind a guy, and he's like, I'm right here, baby. And it's just like,
and he's like dirty
and he's fine. And it's just like, it's like, oh, I guess that, like you said, like, I guess that did nothing to him.
Yeah.
And so then you're like, so is Kraven Superman? Like, is like,
it's lion powers. He has lion powers, you know, they don't get killed in rubble. But then he like, he calls Calypso, and he's like, oh, this was all a setup. And she like, she conveniently is like, oh no, I see five guys walking in right now, and they don't look like they want to talk to me, or something like that.
Yeah.
And she's like, I better get out of here. And I was like, wow, that was super convenient. Like, what was
this whole character, this Ariana DeBose character as Calypso, is so poorly written.
Oh, it's just
such a like, what the crap is she doing in this movie?
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, she's in the comics, so, but like, so anyway, Kraven and Calypso wind up at back at Kraven's.
Yeah. And then this is where they have a jaguar come and attack him, so that the jaguar can come out later.
And I think that the way that they get out there is that Kraven's cargo plane pilot flies them out there.
Yeah, I think it
and gets them out of there. And it's like, again, just like, who is that? Doesn't matter. Nope. Just some lady that flies Kraven's cargo plane. And just, you would think that that would be an important character, but this movie's like, no time.
Nope.
We've got to do a 40-minute flashback and a water buffalo stampede. And so anyway, they go over there, and Kraven, they're walking through the woods, and they stop, and then Kraven goes, we're being hunted. Then a leopard jumps out, or a jaguar, or whatever it is. He wrestles it. And then it turns out like, well, we're friends. Like, he's friends with the leopard, and they wrestle from time to time and whatever. But it's just, again, it's like, there are better ways. Again, like we said, if you want to show us that Kraven is friends with the animals, get to him being an adult in the nature preserve earlier, and show that like on a day-to-day basis, he's like show him like wrestling with the leopard and stuff, you know, like, and just show us that but instead, I don't know, this movie's so like out of order and poorly constructed. And so they go over to his, I loved this sequence too, that they go into like his home, and she pushes this button, and his weapons come down, and they do this big reveal of all of his weapons, and then they do the exact same shot like five minutes later.
And I'm like, why did you have that?
I'm like, didn't you just do this? And when it happens 5 minutes later, they treat it like it's the first time we're seeing it in the movie. Like, these guys show up, and he's like, don't worry, I'm prepared, and he like hits a button, and all of his weapons are revealed, and the movie's like, isn't that cool, he's got all these hidden weapons. And it's like, movie,
yeah, you just saw that.
You just showed us that. Like,
because she's like, oh, typical, like, type thing. And then I was like, oh, okay, weird. And then they showed again, and I was like, you just showed us that.
You don't need to show us that again,
or what? Cut it out in the first part.
Yeah, this movie does so many things twice or three times.
So
that, that it doesn't, like, you know, him killing the poachers twice. We don't need that twice.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. But this scene has one of my favorite lines in the entire movie, which is, you know, Kraven's trying to get from Ariana DeBose, like, hey, do you have any more of this potion stuff?
Oh.
Like, you know, do you? And she says one of my favorite lines in the entire movie. She goes, nah, my grandma made that, and she died, and I never saw her again. I swear that's the exact line. She goes, she made that, and then she died, and I never saw her again. And it's like, well, yeah, you don't need to say the I never saw her again part.
you just said the same thing twice.
She died. I never saw her again. Like, what a weird way to say that.
What else would you say? She died, and I just had dinner with her last week.
It's like
wait, what?
It's like, the weird. It's so when she dumb. Said that in the theater, I was like, that's the weirdest way to say that I've ever heard in a movie. Like, well, she died, and I never saw her again. It's like, I mean, you can just say she died. Like, yeah, you don't need to be like, because saying I never saw her again is like we lost touch.
Why don't you say we lost touch and then she died?
Yeah. It's such a poorly written line.
Oh, that whole sequence, that whole exchange, again, is they're talking at each other and they're not responding to each other.
Bad
ADR.
They're
like bad. And this one, I swear, they either cut to a line that kind of ended the same way or they VFX'd her mouth.
100%.
It did not look natural.
I saw that the exact same thing.
Super weird. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
Like that. She did not say that.
I really hope that the line that they had to add in was "she died and I never saw her again."
Yeah.
They were like, "Hold on, we got to change that. Let's ask ChatGPT what she should say." ChatGPT is like, "What if she died and she never saw her again?" They're like, "That's brilliant. It's great.
Perfect. Put it in.
Awesome." Anyway, they're at the nature preserve and the bad guys are showing up. Rhino and all of his guys are showing up. And so it's Kraven time and they got to get the weapons and Ariana DeBose. They got to show us the same shot they just showed us. And they're going to go and fight the bad guys. And
he brutally murders a ton of them.
Yeah.
And then he runs into the foreigner.
Yeah,
and he can't kill the foreigner. And
he throws a bear trap on a guy's head.
Yeah, and then he splits a guy in half on a tree trunk. Yeah. I was like, what did that guy do? Why'd you do that to him? What is he, the worst bad guy? That was horrible.
Yeah,
it was way worse than the rhino's death.
Did this happen in the nature preserve, or did this happen after the rubble? Where
that happened in the. I'm pretty sure it was the nature preserve.
Yeah. So the foreigner gets him with this toxin.
Yeah,
that shows him his greatest fear. And...
This was the thing that I was like, okay, you guys are really hinting at Spider-Man because it shows your greatest fear and it's spiders.
Right.
And he's like, oh, my mom would always talk about spiders. She's like, oh, the spiders.
Yeah, this movie's so bad. They show a flashback while he's seeing hallucinating spiders. Yeah. The movie shows a quick flashback to his mom in an insane asylum going, oh, the spiders. And this movie sucks.
So to me, I'm like, yeah, it really was. But to me, I'm like, okay, so that's why he hates Spider-Man? Like,
yeah.
You're really laying it on thick there.
If that's it. If it's like my mom, when she was crazy in the insane asylum, used to rant about spiders, and that's why Spider-Man's going on my list. If that's it,
that's horrible.
That sucks. That's terrible.
That's horrible.
And Kraven sucks. Anyway, whatever. But
a little bit of an aside, but all you have to do, Kraven is one that I wish they would have made him more. He likes the sport of killing.
Right. Right.
Because that's why I always felt like he wanted to kill Spider-Man.
100%.
For the sport. Like, this is a challenge. He doesn't care about Spider-Man as a person. He doesn't care about what he's doing or why he's doing it. He just thinks, I got to kill that guy because that's how I prove that I'm a better hunter or a better whatever. Like, that's what he should be. He's not that.
The movie is called Kraven the Hunter. The character is known as Kraven. The thing that makes him scary is this idea of Kraven will put your name on a list. And once your name's on that list, there is nothing you can do to escape him. Yeah. He will be hunting you down for the rest of your life until he kills you.
Yeah.
And to him, like you said, it's all about just the sport of hunting. It's just about the trophies and the challenge. And that's what makes him a villain. He's not a hero. He's not a protagonist. He's
and an interesting villain. Like, he doesn't really care about that. He just wants to kill you.
And so if this movie was just him tracking people down on his list and going for the biggest challenges that he could find.
Yeah.
And maybe running afoul of someone
He wants to kill the rhino because the rhino is huge.
Yeah.
How can I kill this person that's like a rhino?
Right.
But this movie, that's a challenge.
All this movie does is constantly looks at the audience and goes like, I'm a hunter and I'm Kraven.
Yeah.
And then embarks on a storyline that has nothing to do with Kraven being the world's best hunter. In fact, a storyline that directly undermines how good of a hunter he is. Cause
yeah,
he's constantly her. Like, yeah, he's going to other people being like, I can't find this guy. Can you help me? you know, me like, yeah. And, yeah. And it's just like all this stuff where it's like Kraven, like the character from the Spider-Man that I grew up with would never go to someone else and be like, can you help me? Like he would just be like, no, oh no, I'm going to find this guy. Yeah. Like it,
please.
He wouldn't ask anybody. He'd just go like,
he'd find it.
The point is, as a hunter and his pride, like I need to track you down.
Yeah.
I need to follow the trail. I need to be the person.
Yeah.
And so you're absolutely right. This movie should be about how he loves hunting for the sport of it, for the pride of the
kill and the
talent. And instead it's just like this, like that, this is the problem with all of these Sony movies is they're trying to make all of these characters heroes. And it's like, they're just not. People are like, oh, Venom's kind of an anti-hero because he's kind of dark when he's Venom. But I'm like, those are three movies where Venom is the hero in all three of those movies. He is the main character and the hero. Yeah. And Venom is like one of the most terrifying Spider-Man villains in the Spider-Man villain rogues gallery. Like Venom is terrifying in Spider-Man. And in the Tom Hardy movies, he's just like this guy who's just like, me and Venom are bros. Like we're kind of partying and like we, you know, like it's just like this buddy comedy that there's three of and they suck. And these movies just, they just suck. I just like, I can't believe that they had this idea to make all these movies. They're all so bad. And
And back to the story. He has problems with the foreigner. He has that spider nightmare. And then Ariana DeBois shoots him in the eye with an arrow and kills him. So kills the foreigner.
Which this was a thing that the movie platformed like 2 minutes before. And it was like in the scene when she dropped his weapons down, she was like, by the way, I'm really good at bow and arrow. Yeah, and he was like, oh yeah. And she's like, yeah, I know my way around. And this is like literally the movie Argyle does this, which is also a terrible movie that Ariana DeBose is in. The movie Argyle does this where like for no reason, the movie's like, oh, by the way, you were also really good at ice skating when you were a kid. And like, and then there's a scene where she asks Sam Rockwell, she's like, hey, I can't remember. Was I good at ice skating when I was a kid, or was that a fake memory? And he's like, no, you were really good at ice skating. And she's like, great. And then she gets up and like does a whole ice skating scene where she like kills a bunch of people by ice skating. And it's like, the movie's just like, don't worry, she's good at ice skating. So she can do
that. We
like,
just said it. So it's true.
You just said it. And they do it in this movie where Ariana DeBose is like, by the way, I can shoot a bow and arrow and I'm going to now.
And like, and then she kills the foreigner.
Like the very next scene, the foreigner's like using his hypnotism eyes on Kraven, and she shoots him right through the eyes, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
You know.
But then like he goes and he gets the water buffaloes to go around the rhino's car, and then like, I can't remember when this actually was, but the rhino basically says like the whole point. He's like, oh well, I thought that we find out that. Maybe this is later. Anyway, the rhino says, oh, I thought I was going to be on his list, so I figured I'd kill him before I got the chance to be on the list. And I was like, what? Like, okay. So they try to give that, they try to shoehorn that in for some reason. And then they have this fight. The water buffalo surrounds the car and like takes out all the cars. And
Raven's trying to take out the rhino. The rhino's in full rhino mode.
Yeah, which looked so stupid.
But this is also a scene where like Ryan George killed this too in his thing, because he was like, he's like, but Kraven's trying to stab the rhino, but his rhino skin is too thick to be stabbed. And he's like, so how does he defeat him? He's like, by stabbing it. It's just kind of like, because like in 2 seconds, like for whatever reason, he just is able to stab him. It's like,
well, it was the port
that's that right
he uses, but even still, I was like, that's okay.
Yeah, he's got this little port that he puts like this serum into that lets him be in human form. And Kraven kind of sees that as like an opening through like the tough exterior and stabs him. But again, this is a weird thing because I'm like, can't you stab a rhino? Like, I feel like you can.
Yeah, like I know their skin is tough, but
I'm pretty
like,
sure rhino skin's not like impenetrable.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. Like, there's got to be a way to like dull it, you know, like, I don't know, or soft spot or something.
Yeah.
I also just like shoot him in the mouth. I don't know. Like,
yeah, whatever. Yeah.
There's something. I don't know. Yeah,
Craven, that's one thing. Craven refuses to use guns. And so,
yeah, that's true. It's like, stab him in the mouth.
Yeah. Put a spear in his mouth and just like, yeah, like stab him through the brain. I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
his mouth isn't, you know.
Yeah, do something. I don't know. Yeah, like, you know, throw it like, you know, down. There could be some cool way where Craven like is like, I don't, all I need is like this, I don't know, whatever.
Or like he poisons him, something like,
figure out something, but whatever. They Craven kills the rhino and he wins. And then the movie,
we find out it was all Russell Crowe who put this all together. Yeah.
Crowe sent the rhino after Craven because he like knew, he's like, I knew that my boy could never be defeated, but he's like, I knew he would defeat him. And then Craven lets a bear eat his dad. And
and then and then his brother, they have this whole other scene, like, and this, him and his brother's the chameleon.
And now his brother went to the same doctor that the rhino went to, and he's turned into the chameleon, which is a character that I just am like, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? And also, there's not going to be a sequel to this movie, so who cares? Yeah. Like, we're never going to see that fulfilled. His brother is the chameleon now, and he can shapeshift.
And he took over Russell Crowe's, and then...
Yeah, and now his brother's bad, and who cares?
And this is the dumbest thing that I didn't get, because his brother's like, I decided to take it over. It's like, you're just like dad. You think you're not, but you are. And then Craven to me was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess I am like dad. So like he puts on his Craven vest that has like the mane on it.
Yeah.
And like, he looks like Craven. And I'm just like, okay. So like the point of that movie made no sense.
Totally. His dad. So the whole movie, he's like, I don't like my father. My dad's this brutal man who's a coward, who uses guns, who doesn't fight with honor, and who, you know, and like, and he's the kind of guy that would be on my list if he wasn't my dad. If he wasn't my dad, he'd be on my list, you know, which it's like, also like, I think Craven would kill his dad, which he does at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Like, why is his dad not on the list? Like, his dad should be on the list.
Yeah.
In fact, like, his dad should be like one of the first people he kills, to be honest. Like, that should be like the inciting incident for Craven becoming this international assassin. Like,
or it should be all about trying to kill his dad.
Yeah. Something
he's never been able to kill his dad, right? So he's got to get through the rhino to get to him, whatever.
But his dad's using the rhino as like to protect himself from Craven, you know, whatever. But Craven kills his dad by letting a bear eat him. And then he goes to his dad's house and his dad writes him a letter where he's like, Sergei, I always knew you would be Craven. You are so good. And here is vest made of lion. And he just like takes the vest out. He's like, well, I love my dad. And he like puts the vest on. He's like, yeah. And it's like, what? You hate your dad. Why do you care about this gift that your dad left you?
I know.
Why is this a touching moment that your dad's like, we are hunters and you are Craven and you are lion. And then he puts the vest on and he looks at himself in the mirror and he does a Craven pose.
Down and he's like,
and I hate the pose that he does, because they're literally just doing it because that's what Craven is drawn doing in the comics. Yeah. And the movie ends, thank God, and it's the worst movie ever.
It really was horrible.
Yeah.
Let's get to scores.
Yeah, okay. So we score movies. We give movies a technical score. We give movies a score for their ending. We give movies a score for their rewatchability, for their cultural significance, and our subjective score. Kramer, what is your technical score for Sony Marvel's Kraven the Hunter?
I gave it... I don't even know if I should give it this high, but I gave it a 3. I mean, technically, this movie's horrible.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's some good things as far as, like, the cinematography looks good. The action scenes were fine. They were fine. Like, good job. You know, those people did well for what they had to do. Acting is not good. The script is not good. Direction is horrible. Like, everything is bad, but the cinematography looks good. It was consistent. And the action scenes were fine. So I gave it a 3. What did you give it?
Well, I gave it a higher score than you did. I gave it a 4. I know. And I'm like, I think I'm always really generous in the technical category.
I know.
I just know how hard making movies is. And I think about everybody on the crew. And I'm like, look, you guys did a good job, I guess. Another thing I hated in this movie was the score.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, if like, come on. And I don't think any of these Sony movies have had memorable scores. And I'm like, if you want to make a good superhero movie, you've got to have
a theme.
And Craven's theme is just sort of like completely bland and generic and undiscernible from anything else that is jungle themed. Like it's just, there's nothing that stands out. Even the I hated his costume design. I hated his stupid leather jacket that he wore. I just felt like everything was so like, was just like the lowest effort stuff.
Yeah.
4 is probably too high, but that's what I gave it.
I feel the same though. Like a lot of people worked really hard on this movie and like you guys did well, there were things that were done well, but technically just the things that were done bad
took
everything down. The script is horrible. Like just really, really bad. So
I'm probably being too generous there, but everything else is much lower. What'd you give it for the ending?
I gave it a 2.
I gave it a 1.
I mean, the bear, I got to say, I was pretty surprised that his dad was killed by a bear. So maybe that's why I gave it a 2.
But also it's like you kill your dad with a bear and then you go to his house and are like, oh, my dad left me a
present.
I love you, dad. Thanks
for
the
present. Maybe I shouldn't have killed you.
And then like his brother being the chameleon, like the whole ending, I just was like, oh gosh, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is so bad. Like, yeah. So, terrible ending. I gave it a 1. Rewatchability.
I got to give it a 2.
Yeah, I put it at a
1. If I had to, I could rewatch it, I guess, but I don't want to.
Once again, I put it at a 1. I just was like, yep, yeah. I probably will never watch Kraven the Hunter ever again. If I did, I probably won't enjoy it. And
Yep. That's
I will say this about, well, let's get into the cultural, because I'll say this about cultural.
I want to know your score first, because this is by far my highest.
Okay. Mine is, and maybe mine should be higher. Maybe mine should be like a 4 or a 5. I have it at 3. But the reason is like, I think that people are going to puzzle over what Sony was doing with these movies for a long time to come. It's going to be thought of as like, what was that? It was such a weird experiment where they tried to make all of these movies in a shared universe about Spider-Man villains, and Spider-Man's not in any of them. And they tried to make the villains the heroes in all of the movies, and it didn't work once.
Yeah.
They made 6 movies and they were all terrible.
Yep. And we haven't even talked about Morbius.
Yeah. And so I for that reason alone, it probably has, maybe it's like a 4 or a 5.
Yeah. But I gave it a 5 for that exact reason. This doesn't mean positive or negative. It just means that it's in like the zeitgeist, right?
Yeah.
And I think that this movie will be there for a while in a negative form, but that's why I gave it a 5. Cause I like it, just exactly what you said. People are going to remember this in a very negative way. Like, why did they do that?
Yeah.
So, give it a 5.
Subjective score. Yeah, everything about like how I like the ending and the rewatchability and the subjective, like just are like my feelings were as low as I could go. And so I give it a 1 on a subjective score.
I gave it a 1 as well. This was a horrible movie. I guess we could give things 0, but I figured I'd give it a 1.
I figured I'd go. I thought it was fun when he threw a bear trap on that guy's head. And
there were definitely some parts where I was like, yeah, that was fine. Yeah, that's cool.
You know, there's, but I just mostly was like, boy, what a waste of money.
And it was.
And energy and time and talent. And like, man, I really hope that Sony is done with this weird thing that we're doing.
I think they should be. Stick to Spider-Man and work with Marvel on that one. And I don't know if people know. I mean, I know a lot of people know this, but this is not a Marvel movie. This is a Sony Marvel movie.
In association with Marvel.
Marvel doesn't really have any. Marvel Cinematic Universe does not have anything to do with this movie. It's not Kevin Feige who's over this.
Remember when they tried to pull Venom into the MCU and they did for like a second and then they just sent him back?
Yeah.
Like at the end of Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage, he multiverse hops to the MCU universe and sees Peter Parker, and you're like, oh my gosh. So Tom Hardy is going to show up, which like, cool. And then they were just like, we don't really know what to do with that. And they just sent him back.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay. So
he's not there.
So no. Okay. All right. Weird. All right. Cool.
Yeah. And that, yeah. So let's hope that this is the end of that. And keep making the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse movies. Those are great.
Yeah, go ahead. And bring Kraven into the next into the Spider-Verse.
Hey,
movie,
that'd be fun.
Please.
Yeah.
I think that a Kraven character done right, who is just this relentless hunter, who is just, he's just singular of purpose, and he is just, he cannot be dissuaded from checking you off his list as a villain, is terrifying and cool and awesome.
I would love to see that. I really like Kraven. Yep. That's why, like, when I heard that this was announced, I was like, okay, it could be cool.
It should almost be like a horror movie. It should be like...
Yeah, well, you're being hunted.
Right.
Like, it should be like a Predator movie.
Like Predator.
Right. Like, I feel like if Carl Urban was Kraven and he got jacked up, right? And, like he would look really cool and he'd be a really cool, fun Kraven for me.
You're absolutely right. Kraven. So, but that's why Kraven can't be the main character. Like,
yeah, he can't. No.
We have to be following protagonists who are being stalked by Kraven.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to be the predator. He needs to be like the unseen force out there that is pursuing you.
Exactly.
And
like, that would be a fun movie. And that's why, like, a Spider-Man movie would be fun. Like, you know, anyway, if he was the villain, you could make it really fun. You could make a really fun and very cool and scary Spider-Man movie.
What do you guys think? Do you think that the critics are right or that the audiences are right when it comes to how people are reacting to this? Did we get it wrong? Is Kraven a lot of fun and we're just being being snobby nerds, or are we right and Kraven and all of these Sony movies suck?
Spoiler alert, we're right.
We're right. We're correct. And let us know why you agree with us and what parts you liked of this episode. Oh, geez, I forgot to say this at the top of the episode. I forgot to make our announcement.
That's okay.
Oh, no.
I can just edit this at the beginning.
Okay, maybe we'll
edit this. We are one take. Maybe.
Yeah, I know. Oh, man. Okay. Starting in the new year, the Wonner Podcast will all be on the Wonner channel, the Wonner Podcast channel on YouTube. So far, this podcast has existed on my personal YouTube channel, on the Austin Archer YouTube channel, under just the Wonner Podcast playlist. But the podcast will be moving full time to the Wonner Podcast channel, its own channel on YouTube. It obviously has its own page on, you know, Spotify and Apple Podcasts and stuff like that. But so if you are a listener of the Wonner Podcast, if you watch our videos, if you are following along, please go and follow us over at the Wonner Podcast. We will link that channel in the description of this video. Follow that channel so that by the time we start with our new videos over there, you're already following over there and we can already hit the ground running. And that's the big news.
Yeah. We're posting just like our scores on there for now, just to kind of get the channel going, but come follow, subscribe, comment. We'll for sure be commenting back to try and interact with you guys and with everybody and, you know, appreciate all the comments that we've had so far, but follow us there. And this is where we're going to start posting, is over there.
All right, everybody. We'll see you on the next one. And, Kraven sucks.
It does. It's Kraven time.
It's Kraven time. Bye.
Bye-bye.